I just love to see what God's doing in you guys' lives. And, you know, God is just so faithful. And, you know, even when we're not faithful, when we're not doing right, God is still at work in our lives. And, I mean, that's just a picture of His grace and mercy in us. And you know, I'm really excited for the new year. I love New Year because it's, to me, it feels like it's a new start in life, you know. And, you know, it seems like throughout the year, you know, we go through life and things happen, and you know, sometimes life just gets mucked up, you know. I mean, it's just like things just kind of get, you know, it just doesn't feel like life always goes the way that we want it to go. And I feel like the new year is kind of a time for us to reevaluate and to make some new commitments. And I love New Year. Does anybody make New Year's resolutions? I don't make New Year's resolutions anymore because they don't work for me. But I have set some goals for this year. I think there's a difference between a New Year's resolution and a goal, because a goal is something that you can measure. It's something that you know, has an end date to it, and it's specific things that you want to get done. And one of mine today, and I'm going to tell you this today so y'all can help me out with it, is I want to read 12 books in 12 months. Now, if you look at the numbers, that seems pretty easy, right, to read a book a month. I mean, that shouldn't be too hard, right? But, you know, in the reality of it, you know, that's a pretty big thing to take over. I know people that read a book a day, and I'm just like, you're ridiculous. Where do you even have time to sit down and read a book a day? You know, I might be able to get one of those little thin books, you know, just, you know, read through that in about 30 minutes and call it good. But that's one thing that I want is I want to grow this year. I don't want to be the same as I am right now at the end of the year. I want to be better, and I want to have expanded my mind and grown closer to God. And you know, that's my goal this year. And for me, you know, New Year's resolutions don't work because I'm trying to change myself. And I figured out that I can't change myself. It's impossible for me. And it's impossible for you to, you know, we can change for a little while. You know, we can change some habits for, you know, it usually lasts about a month and all that. And, you know, I always like to make those New Year's resolutions like, I'm going to get in shape this year. You know, I've been doing that for 20 years and you see where it's gotten me. Still the same spot, you know, and so, you know, we try to change ourselves, but I found out that it's impossible to do that, because, you know, we don't need to be changed, we need to be transformed, and that's what God does for us. And so I think the reason that most New Year's resolutions don't work out because we don't add God to the equation, but we got to allow God to transform us from the inside out, and that's what our series is about. In January is restart. You know, sometimes in life we just need a restart. I wish there was a restart button in life that, you know, you get up some mornings and, you know, you wake up late and so you're rushing around and the kids get grumpy and it's just like this big ball of grossness going on in your day. You're like, man, can we just stop and just restart this day? I mean, can we just do that? And it never works out though, but anyway, you know, but one of the things that I do around here, it's mostly by default, not because of expertise, but I deal with the technology side of a lot of things that go on here in church. And, you know, there's times that, and it seems to like work all week until like the moment that you need it to work, and then technology fails you in that moment. There's so many times we're trying to get stuff in the computer, you know, and making sure everything's working, and like, I've tried this, and this, and nothing is working. It's not going to work. And one of my phrases that I use when all else fails, restart. Restart the program, restart the computer, and it's amazing how that fixes things. And so that's kind of what I want for us this year, is that we hit the restart button in our life, in our spiritual life, and let all of that stuff that built up last year, just let it go and restart. And, you know, because, you know, we get in times in lives where it just feels like we're just spinning our wheels, like we're trying, but nothing's working, and we just need to refocus a little bit in life. And so in this series, I want us to look at some things to where we hit the reset button on our relationship with God. And for some of you, that means actually starting a relationship with God, that you've lived life without God up to this point, and you're looking at it like, I don't like where my life is at. You know, this is what I produce, and I don't like it. And you might need to hit that restart button and give your life to Christ and allow Him to begin to work in your life. Because as much as you want to change your life, it's not possible. It's not possible. It takes God transforming your life for things to begin to change in us. And so what I want to talk to you about today is how to live a transformed life. How to live a transformed life. And, you know, when we talk about salvation, you know, there's lots of different phrases that people use for salvation. Salvation, getting saved, being reborn. There's a lot of different phrases out there these days. And it's kind of gotten, some of it's gotten kind of weird and way off track. And so when we talk about being saved or giving your life to Christ, that's not just praying a prayer and everything's okay. And you know, that's not what the Bible talks about. That's not what being saved is just praying some prayer. In fact, if you look through the Bible, and I've read through it, and I've never found the prayer of salvation in there. The prayer of salvation is not in the Bible. It's something that we made up. And so you just don't pray a prayer and everything's okay. That's not what it's about. But it's salvation is so much more than just getting your ticket punched to get to go to heaven. Okay? And that's what a lot of people think. A lot of people will pray a prayer out of fear because they don't want to go to hell, and they think it's okay. But that's not what the Bible talks about. When I talk about getting saved or reborn or giving your life to Christ, let me tell you what I'm talking about. And that's what this church believes, and I hope you believe the same thing, is that when you do that, you know, the Bible talks about in Romans 10:9, it said that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe it in your heart, then you will be saved. That's what the Bible says. And that's kind of where we get that thought of we need to pray this prayer. But what it's talking about is, you know, when you say Jesus is Lord, it's not just an empty phrase. It's not just words that come out of your mouth, but it's a commitment that you're making. And so what we do when we give our lives to Christ, most of the time we've come to a place in our life where we're pretty low and things aren't going right, and we know that we need some help. And it's usually in that time when God's love and His compassion shows up in our lives. And because here's the thing. One thing that we love to do here is pray for the lost. Pray for people. And there are certain times that we emphasize that, especially around Easter. Like, start praying for people that God wants you to bring to church on Easter morning. Start praying for people that need salvation. And most of us are here today because someone prayed for us, right? It might have been your grandma, it might have been a friend, it might have been, I don't know. But most of us are here because someone was praying for us. We hit a hard time and God shows up. It's like that on-time moment. You know, God's an on-time kind of God. He doesn't show up early, He doesn't show up late, He shows up right when we need Him. And so most of the time we're in a low spot and we reach out and God is there. And we experience the goodness of God. And so what we do is when we give our lives to Him, we're saying, God, I can't do this on my own. I realize that I'm sinful and I'm far from You, and I give my life to You. I submit to You. I give the reins of my life to You. I'm no longer in control, but You are in control of my life. That's what we mean by confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. You're saying, Lord, You're now in charge of my life. I give my life to You. And when you truly believe that in your heart, that as we celebrated communion here today, that Jesus was born, that He's the Son of God, and that He lived here on earth, He lived the perfect life, and that He died on the cross, not because of what He did, but because of our sin, that He took our sin upon Him, and He died in our place, and He went to hell for us, and He rose again on the third day, giving us victory over sin and death, and then He ascended into heaven, and now He's praying for you and me. That's pretty awesome. And so when we say Jesus is Lord, you're saying, I submit my life to You because I've messed it up so bad that it's not working, and so God, I want You to take control of my life. That's what I mean by when you get saved, okay? There's some people that pray a prayer and think they're okay, but they never submitted. They never gave anything over to Him. And so as we look at this, when we do that, I believe that God comes in and transforms our life. Now, I wish he came in and he fixed everything in our life. Wouldn't that be awesome? Like that moment you get saved, like you're not fat anymore, and you look good, and like you don't have any of those addictions anymore, and those personality things that gets on people's nerves. That's all God. I wish God did that for us. But you know what? He didn't do that. So what happened when we got saved? See, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ, talking about what we just talked about, has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Now, this doesn't mean that God came in and changed your life. That's not what he's talking about here. It's not a change that he made. It's a transformation. He said that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. That doesn't mean they changed. That means they've transformed into something completely different. You are now something that never existed. See, when we have babies, they're brand new. I mean, they haven't lived life. I mean, they have a clean slate. You know, we get to teach them all this stuff. And in the physical realm, that's new life right there. But see, when we're born again, we become babies again in our spirit, because we are now a clean slate. See, God no longer holds our past against us. He says, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far I've removed your sin from you. Did you know that God doesn't remember your sin in your past? Isn't that good news? It's good news for me, because I've done a lot of stupid stuff in my life. I'm excited about that I've been transformed into something completely new. And see, the thing about the past is, a lot of times we allow our past to hold us back when God's already forgiven and forgotten about it. So why are we allowing our past to drag us down? It's because we keep dragging along with it. We it's like baggage, we're just carrying along with us. See, God's already forgiven and forgotten that stuff. We need to learn to put that aside and allow God to transform us into something new. All right, and so kind of a side thing that I want to talk about today is when we were born again, that I wish that God would change our bodies and in our souls, but there's some things that's changed and some things that don't. Why is that? Well, because we are made in the image of God, right? We see that in Genesis where God created man. He made us in his image and in his likeness. Does that mean that we're gods? No. What that means is that we're made just like God was made. See, God is three parts. He's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Don't ask me to explain that, because that's one of the mysteries that I don't understand. All right? there's things, some things about God that's just like, I have no clue what's going on there, but God, I trust you anyway. But when we were made, he made us three parts as well. Just as he's three parts, we're three parts. See, we're spirit, soul, and body. And I really think that if we dove in and really studied into that, it would open our eyes and why we struggle with some things and a lot of different things in life. And so I've tried to view things like that in my life. See, one of the things I'm doing right now, you're not supposed to talk about this, but I feel like I'm supposed to, but I'm on a fast right now. I'm on a 21-day fast to help me restart my year and to restart my Christian life. And it's not a food fast, because, I mean, I'm not crazy. I mean, come on, I got to eat. No, I need to do one of those one time. But I'm fasting different things in my life. And what I've done is I've looked at my life and okay, what am I struggling with in my soul? What are some soul issues that I'm dealing with? What are some body issues that I'm dealing with? And I'm fasting things in those. And then I look at my spiritual life. I'm like, okay, what do I need to add? What do I need to do to bring life to this? And so I begin to look at life in these three different areas. And I believe as we address those things, that it makes a little more sense. But let me read a scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. That's where we get that, as far as the spirit, soul, and body, the different parts of us. So what is all of this stuff? Your spirit is what came alive. That's what was transformed inside of you when you gave your life to Christ. Now your spirit is alive and you have this connection with God. And that's the spirit side of you. Your spirit side is what's connected with God. That's why you communicate with God, is through your spirit. Your body is just, it's your body. That's how you live here on earth. If you don't have a body, you're not here on earth, right? And so our body is just our physical body. And so our soul is the part of us that makes us us. You know, it's our personalities. It's our thought processes. It's our decision making. It's our thoughts. It's our emotions. It's, you know, the feelings that we have. That's part of our soul. And it's our will. It's that part of us that drives us and makes decisions. And like, you know, that's what the soul is. And so your spirit was transformed when you were born again. He didn't do anything with your body. I mean, that's one thing I got to talk with God about when we get, God, why didn't you fix our bodies? You know, but it's our soul is where we need to be transformed. It's the part of us that didn't change, but it's the part of us that gives us the most fits in life, right? And so these are the things that we need to work on. These are the things that God is transforming in us. Because salvation came to our spirit, and salvation is still coming to our soul. And when we get to heaven, it'll be complete. And so our soul is what we're working on here on earth as we're doing it. It's the part of us that gives us the issues. And so today I want to talk to you about how to live a transformed life. And we're going to look into the soul and see what we can do to help our soul transform. And so let's dive into this. I'm going to talk about three different areas in our life that we need to live out to have a transformed life. All right, first of all, we need to learn to submit our will. Submit our will. Now, yes, when we gave our lives to Christ, we submitted our will to Him. But that's not a one-time decision. That's a decision you have to make every day. Every day you get up and you decide how you're going to live your life. And so we've got to learn how to submit our will to God. It sounds like a simple thing, but why is it so hard to do? Why is it that we have so much trouble submitting to God? Think about this. Go on a journey with me real quick. I love nature. I love being outdoors. I love hiking. I love waterfalls is what I really love. You know, going and seeing mountains and waterfalls. And I just love God's creation. And I stand in awe of God because of His creation. But one of my favorite things to do is to go outside at night and just look up in the sky. Does anybody do this besides me? Just go outside and look up in the sky. And you know, in my understanding, I look up there and there's little flashing lights everywhere, you know. And it's crazy because they're always in the same place every time. You know, and you're just like, that's pretty cool. But, you know, through science and technology and telescopes and all that, we've been able to explore what those things are. And we've learned that those are stars. Those are burning balls of gas out there. And they're millions and billions of miles away, and somehow we can still see them with our eyes. But we look up there and we can see all of this stuff that God created. See, when God created everything, He spoke with His voice. He said, "Let there be," and there was. And He spoke all of this into existence. And the universe is ever expanding. It's still going. God's command to be is still going, and there's still things being created out there. And there's billions of galaxies and black holes and all kinds of stuff up in space that's so beautiful. But as you look at it, you know, they're always in the same spot. They don't change. They don't move. And we've actually, as humans, used that for thousands and thousands of years to create calendars, to create time, to be able to chart, you know, be able to sail through the ocean just by looking at the stars. I don't know how all that works because I'm not smart enough. But we've used that for thousands and thousands of years to do things in life. And God created all that with just the sound of His voice. And as you kind of come closer, you know, we have our galaxy that we live in. You know, we have the sun, which is the closest star to us, and it's hot and it's bright. And we have all of these planets that circle around the sun. Earth being one of those things, and they all stay in perfect formation. Because if one of those planets got off out of its orbit and goes off, then you know it's going to throw everything else off and everything that we know. And as we look at Earth, we see that it's the perfect distance from the sun. If we get any closer, we'll burn up. If we go any further, we freeze to death. But God keeps it all in perfect orbit, in perfect rotation, and that we can plan life based on these things. See, the earth spins, giving us day and night. It goes around the sun giving us our years. And it's, I mean, we got clocks that are stay on time because God created all of this stuff with the sound of His voice. You know, it's interesting that, you know, even as you just look at the Earth is the only planet that we know of that has any habitation on it. It's either too close to the sun or too far away, and it's too hot, too cold, but God created the Earth just perfectly in the right rotation with the right atmosphere and the right everything for it to sustain life, for so that you and me can be here. It's amazing as you look at nature, how God created it, is that we need oxygen to be able to breathe. And so trees make oxygen. We breathe it in. We exhale carbon dioxide that the trees need to be able to make oxygen. That's just pretty cool in itself. That God created that so that we could have oxygen to breathe. And God created all these intricate details down to the little tiniest thing so that we could live here on earth. That's awesome. That's what God created. But let's go further than that. You know how many people are on this planet? I found a website last night that gives us the current population of the world. It's 7,675,289,860. It keeps changing because it's going up and down. Because, you know, this is all estimations, but it says today alone there's been 188,685 people born today, like since midnight, all right? There's been 79,182 people die today. That one kind of shocked me when I was like, man, people are dropping like flies. It's crazy. Just today, there's been... The population growth today has been 109,585 people. Just today, that's grown. Now, if you think about that, 7,675,000,000 and some change people live here on this earth, on this one planet. That's just a speck in the whole scheme of what God created. That makes you feel special, doesn't it? You are one of 7.6 billion people that live on this earth. That God created all of this. But you know what? He cares about you. That you are special to Him. One of 7.6 billion people. You know, the Bible tells us that God even knows our thoughts before we think them. That He knows how many hairs are on your head. Now, for some of y'all, that's an easy number to count. Some of us are not, but you know, but that's how intimately God knows you. It doesn't matter if you're saved, if you're lost, if you're just born, if you've been here 90 years. It doesn't matter. God knows you that intimately. One of 7.6 billion people, He knows every single person like that on this tiny dot that we call Earth in the vast universe that He created. Now, God created all that, and it all works perfectly, but yet I can't submit my will to Him because I don't think that He can handle it as good as I can. Think about that. We're scared to submit to God because we're afraid that He might mess something up. But He keeps all of that in perfect harmony all throughout the universe. And He cares about you so much that He knows you to the very intimate detail, that He handcrafted you in your mother's womb. See, this is why we need to submit to God. Because He has a plan for our lives. He has purpose. He's gifted you and talented you to do a very specific thing. And that when we all work together in doing that very specific thing that God made you to do, then everything works out to God's plan. But we have trouble submitting to that because He might mess something up. Let me tell you something. I've messed up my life so much that I don't know. I mean, I would trust anybody else besides me to run my life at this point. You know, it's like, but the God of the universe that created everything. See, one way that I submit my will to God is through worship. Through worship. And I'm not talking about singing for 20 minutes on Sunday morning. Music is a very small part of what worship is. Don't get me wrong, I love our worship. We have an amazing worship team. You know, that last song that we sang, I don't remember the name of it, but anyway, But I was sitting in the back, and I could hear the crowd over the people on the stage singing, and I thought, man, these guys are worshiping. Man, that is awesome. These people are pouring out their hearts to God. And worship is one way that helps me to submit to God, because you know what worship really is? Worship is taking all of your focus and placing it on God and forgetting about yourself. And see, that's what we just did. That scenario that we just went through was worship, because we forgot about us for a second. And we thought about all of God's creation and what He did and how awesome He is and how He was able to do all this stuff, and He still loves me, and our focus was on Him and His awesomeness, and that was worship. And then I look back at myself and think, who am I? You know, what are my problems in life? That's nothing compared to keeping the earth in orbit. I think God can handle my problems. I think God can handle my situation. I think God can handle my past where I've messed it up. I don't think that's going to be a problem for Him. I think He can go ahead and fix that, because He can keep this earth in perfect rotation to where everything works out perfectly. And see, God wants to do that in your life, but we have to submit to Him. And as we focus on Him and His awesomeness and His glory, then it makes it easier for us to submit, because we realize God's got this thing. He hadn't made a mistake yet. I don't think He's going to start with me. And so it helps me to submit my will to Him, saying, okay, God, I think I can handle this, but I can't, so God, I give this to You. And so we need to learn to submit our will to Him. Romans 12, verse 1, it says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, in view of God's awesomeness, in view of who God is, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is the true and proper worship. Man, he can body, you know, we think about that. We need to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. This word actually means our body and our soul connected. It's all of us, of who we are on this earth. The things that make us who we are and us being able to exist on earth, let's give that as a living sacrifice to God. Let me give my talents to God. Let me give my personality to God and allow Him to use that for His glory. And as I do that, I am worshiping the Father. You know why? Because I'm putting the focus on Him and not me. See, too many times we worship us because it's all about us. See, we need to be worshiping God because it's all about Him. And that's where that submission comes in. Let's move on to the next thing. How to live a transformed life. We need to submit our will. The second thing we need to do is we need to renew our mind. Or we need to change the way that we think. See, in Romans 12, 2, it says, don't conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So here we see this. He says, don't follow the patterns of this world. Have you ever noticed, as you read the Bible, that what the Bible says is a whole lot different than what the world says? God's wisdom and the world's wisdom are usually opposite of each other. And see, we've grown up in this world. We went to school in this world. We've been, you know, just constantly just, you know, the ideas of the world have been pushed on us from the day that we were born. And a lot of us live our lives that way because that's makes sense to us. It's logical that way. But as we look into God's Word, we see a better way. See, His ways are better than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And so we need to learn to change our thoughts to think more like God than we think about the world. See, you know, if you think about this, you know, God's Word and His wisdom is a whole lot different than the world's wisdom. And so if we live out God's Word, then we should be living out different than the world, so we should look different than the world, right? And so that comes through the renewing of the mind. It's replacing the world's thoughts and putting God's thoughts in their place. How do we do that? Guys, we got to be in our Bibles. We got to be putting God's thoughts in us. Put them in our minds. Read them. Memorize them. But it just doesn't need to stay in our head. We need to get that down in our hearts to where we truly believe that. We do that through meditating and thinking on God's Word. Some of my favorite times is when I read a scripture and I think, God, what in the world are You talking about? And then you pray a little prayer and say, God, show me what that means. And as you stop and you allow God to work in you and you begin to think about it, God's thoughts begin to come into your mind and He begins to show you what that means. then he begins to show you how that works out in your life and how you can live that out in your life. And it's that meditation that takes it from knowledge to wisdom. And so we need to be living by God's wisdom through the renewing or the replacing of thoughts in our minds. See, a lot of people think, I can't control my thoughts. You know, I've got all of these. See, here's the thing. You have thousands and thousands of thoughts come through your mind every minute. You have five senses, and all of those senses all the time are receiving information from the world. So you're sitting in a nice comfy chair, you can feel that, and you're like, okay, that's kind of soft, that feels nice, and you're getting information from that. You have the sense of smell. Some of you are smelling coffee, some of you are smelling your neighbor's perfume, or whatever it is, and that's bringing thoughts into your mind. You know, you have your eyes that, as you look around, you're receiving information from the world. You're thinking, man, he looks really good in that blue shirt, man. That's looking sharp on him today. And you know, you're getting that information. And you're hearing my voice, and you're hearing things going on around you. And there's information constantly coming into your mind. And see, we have all of this coming into us. And here's the thing. If you're not careful, that can overwhelm you. There's so many people that get so easily distracted. You know, you're sitting in church and someone's over here whispering, or a baby's crying over here, or this is going. Someone gets up and goes to the bathroom, and you can control all of that. You can control what's going on in your mind, and you do that through God's Word. See, you decide what you think about. See, you don't always decide what comes into your mind, but you decide if you think about it or not. You decide what you do with that information. And see, you know, people who get offended, you know, easily, you know, lots of times, you know, someone will say something and, you know, whether it be intentional or unintentional, and they begin to think about that. And they let that play over and over in their heads, and the more they think about it, the madder they get, and they allow that to consume their thoughts. Well, they decided to let that happen. They decided to let that offense come into their life because they chose to think about it. And so we have control of our thoughts, and the way we do that, as we get God's Word into our mind, and we begin to control those things that we think about. Number three, how to live a transformed life. We've got to learn to check our emotions. See, our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. See, when we submit our will to God, He can begin to transform us in our spirit. We begin to renew our mind, and we get control of those thoughts and begin to think God's thoughts. The next thing that we got to look at is our emotions. See, there's two spectrums on this, that there's some people that they live and die by the way that they feel. They allow their emotions to rule their lives, and it's all about how they feel in the moment. You know, if you live like that, then your life is a roller coaster because your feelings change all the time. And then the other end of the spectrum is kind of where I live, is like you kind of, you know, knock down all those emotions and those feelings. So, because I like to make logical decisions. And so I try to take emotion out of a lot of my decisions. But you know what? God created emotions for a reason. And that emotions are a good thing, that they play a part in our life. But the deal is, your emotions are a great servant, but a horrible master. If you allow your emotions and your feelings to dictate your life, then you have no control. But on the opposite end is also that if you don't feel anything, if you don't allow your emotions to play out in any way, then I believe that you're missing a big part of what God created you to do. Because think about this. In Jesus' life, as He walked around, the Bible says that He would look at somebody and He would be moved with compassion. See, that's an emotion. That's a feeling right there. And there's lots of times that I walk around and seeing someone hurting and broken, and I feel nothing. And so I do nothing. And see, that's where it can get you in trouble. And so there's this medium place to where you allow emotions to be in your life, and that you feel stuff, but you don't let it control you at the same time. We need to learn to check our emotions. Philippians 4, 6 and 7, it says, don't be anxious about anything. See, anxiety and worry, those are emotions. You know, all those, you know, those can control you. It says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. See, here's the thing. When you feel those emotions rising up on the inside of you, don't jump on the roller coaster. Take it to God in prayer instead. And see, it says in every situation in life, pray about it. And that's some great advice right there. If you want to keep those emotions in check, then you need to start praying. And praying. When things come up in life, when those worries start coming up, don't worry about it, pray about it. No, God told us to cast all of your cares upon me because I care for you. And so what happens is when we allow our emotions to be out of control, it says in here, it says, you know, if you pray about it, it says, then the God of peace will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. See, when you allow your emotions to be in control, you live with your heart and your mind unguarded. And so anything can come in and take control. And we're so controlled by our emotions and everything that comes into us. But if we learn to stop and pray instead, you begin to guard those things. Your mind doesn't run as wild as it has to. And your hearts are protected. And see, that's why it's so important to be putting God's word in there. Because then you begin to know and understand God's will for your life and that you can live your life by that instead of what's going on the outside. So if you want to live a transformed life, and this is not something that happens overnight. This is a lifelong journey that we're on. We need to submit our will to God every day through worship. We need to renew our mind through God's word, and we need to check our emotions through prayer. See, I want to live a transformed life this year. I don't want to be the same as I was last year. I want to be better. I want to be closer to God. I want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit in my life so that when He does speak that I hear and that I can act. So the question is, do you want to live that transformed life? And through this series, we're going to talk about in Restart how we can do that, what it looks like to live a transformed life and how that we can live that out. See, we got one more song that we're going to do today. And during this song, I don't want you to think about what you're eating for lunch. I don't want to think about what's going on around you. Today, I want you to worship. And by worship, that means submit. Take your focus off yourself and worship Him. Focus in on Him. Allow Him to do some transforming in your heart today. Let's all stand. Prayer team, let's come forward. If you need someone to pray with, whether it be that you need to give your life to Christ, maybe you need to come back to Christ because maybe you've walked away this year, and you need to hit that restart button and start fresh this year, come and pray. But I want you to connect with God. I want you to submit today to Him.